95.7 The Fan presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. It's the 5 o'clock fire.
That ball's into right center field. If it gets to the wall, the Astros will take to the lead. It does get to the wall. Pena's going to score. Yordan is going to think about three. The big guy going for a triple. He's in there. And the dugout explodes. 7-6 Astros.
I think he timed it with triples this year. Like, that's unacceptable. Nah, but, you know, Yordan feels like he comes through every single time. Nothing surprises me with that guy anymore.
There it is. A big win last night for the Astros. And those two guys, Yordan Alvarez, and then the voice you heard there, Jeremy Pena, they were right in the middle of it. And they needed it. They needed every bit of it. Yiner Diaz chipping in with a big performance, probably the best game he has had all season. And it puts them in first place, Clint. They are in first place now. The Rangers lost to the White Sox last night, so they came into the game in second place and out of the postseason, walking into the game, and now they are back in first place in the West with a big performance. And Clint, they're going to need more of that again tonight. And Peter Lambert gets the ball. And he's one to watch, Clint, because Peter Lambert, I would say, if you look at the full season, has been their best, most reliable starting pitcher, right? Obviously, the injuries to Hunter Brown, and Hunter Brown obviously not being the Hunter Brown that he was, especially last year. But they need to get Peter Lambert kind of back going again. Lambert has five innings his last two matches, outings. And it's looked like he is really labored to get to his five innings and has struggled big time. Don't know if he's starting to reach a wall. He's a veteran, so don't know if that is a big deal there, or teams are starting to get used to what he's doing out there. But he has not been the same guy that he was. They desperately need him to get back on track to being the guy that was at times. You got to a point where you could depend on Peter Lambert. You could depend on Peter Lambert to come out there and give you a solid outing and give you a chance. And he has struggled a little bit here of late, and they need him in the worst way. Like, I don't think they can sustain like what the Petco kid did last night, giving you four innings and five runs. They're going to need somebody to come in and give them a pitching performance where they don't have to score nine runs and multiple home runs.
Yeah, look, needing 8-plus to win a game is not going to be ideal for this Astros team for damn sure. So, I don't know. I look at it with Pete Lambert. I've thought this is one of the more fascinating things to follow as the Astros season unfolds. You know, 3 2/3 against the Angels in that game where they lost 18-3 on August the 20th, I believe, is his last outing. 9 earned runs. Now, to be fair, that's the only game that he's given up more than, I think he gave up 5 earned runs once. He gave up 4 earned runs twice. Everything else has been 3 or fewer. So, we're talking about 3 or 4 starts where he may or may not have struggled a bit, the last of which was the worst, 3 2/3, 9 earned. The thought of, hey, man, because, you know, a lot of these advanced stats guys will tell you that Lambert's getting lucky. Down the stretch here, he's getting lucky. It's liable to unfold. The wheels are going to come off at some point. I'm not letting that one game of 9 earned runs ruin it for me. I just don't see it. I hope the kid holds it together, obviously, because I'm an Astros fan. But I'm pulling for him to complete the season in impressive fashion.
Lineup behind him, the Astros, they bring in Pena and Alvarez, 1-2 at the top at short DH. Hopefully they can continue to stay hot. Paredes got on base multiple times yesterday. Altuve had multiple hits. Marcio had multiple hits yesterday. Christian Walker did not. Taylor Trammell is in the lineup. Cam Smith had a big triple yesterday. And then Christian Vasquez is catching. No Yiner Diaz after 2 home runs, multiple RBIs, total bases. He is not in the lineup tonight, which is interesting. to say the least. I see Joel right here on Twitch talking about you can't trust Diaz. Well, I don't know who the hell else you could trust up there either.
Yeah.
At the back end of that, yeah, that lineup.
That's a hell of an approach to take with this lineup, is that you can't trust somebody. I mean, I do disagree, but I don't necessarily give that much of a rip. But the thought is, well, I mean, the way you could manipulate this lineup, I mean, we're talking about choosing guys like Tramiel over –
They got about seven guys that have the same level of trust.
Yeah, fair. Good call.
and when you hit two home runs and drive in multiple runs with three hits in a game, yeah, I think you get to play the next day. I find a way to get you in the lineup the next day. So big time. They have fared well against teams with 500 or above records, and we can see if they can continue. They're 24-13. In those games. We'll see if they can continue that tonight as they need to keep racking up all these wins. Can they get above 500 again? They can with a win tonight.
Peter is kind of being that guy for us.
5 o'clock fire.
Yeah, he has. All right, joint practice, a couple of things to get into. Overall, if you're trying to get an understanding of how joint practice went today, generally we'll let you hear from D'Amico. But I don't think that is the play here. Yeah, you know, the coach of the team may soft-shoe some things at times. It may make you feel a little bit better than it was. If you get the other coach expressing honesty about them getting their asses kicked in their own joint practice, that says a lot. Here's Dave Canales, the head coach of the Panthers, in his description of what happened, especially to his offense at this joint practice between the Panthers and Texans.
It was pretty lopsided today, I'll be honest. I would say that in general, over camp, I'm very excited about where we're at as an offense in our scheme, the variation of the run game, the actions tied into that, the drop back pass game, Bryce's rhythm with a lot of our guys, with T-Mac. You know, Xavier hasn't been out there, but with Jalen, just finding different ways to get completions. And also, I've been really encouraged by that. Today did not show that. Today there was a couple of flashes of some nice throws and catches, but, you know, that was a good group today. So, again, I try not to just take it all in a microcosm, but if we want to be good, we have to be able to play against teams like this.
Today did not show that. I mean, I appreciate the coach going back and really dipping into the previous 2 weeks of training camp to give his fan base and his team a little bit of confidence. But it sounds like they got absolutely that tidal wave that old Foster Moreau keeps talking about this defense will turn into if you ain't ready. It sounds like one of them old tsunamis hit Charlotte.
Yeah.
In the form of the Texans defense. So.
Yeah, he said anytime we drop back to pass, we just couldn't do anything.
Yeah.
He said Will Anderson, Danielle Hunter, Aaron Wilson reported Danielle Hunter had 4 to 5 sacks himself.
Yeah.
Today, and. Bullock had multiple interceptions today. We've seen videos of one of them,
yeah,
which was clearly affected by the pass rush.
Well, this is. I mean, yes, the Texans' defense is really, really good, and they're going to be really good against anything the NFL can throw at them. The fun, when it gets real fun to watch as a Texans fan is when you run up against a team that has no business being on the field with the Texans from a talent standpoint and from an intensity standpoint. They are just going to absolutely destroy those offenses. Look, we've seen it before, but I think this year it's got a chance to be even worse.
Yeah,
I mean, the likes of the Carolina Panthers, I mean, they will destroy them for four quarters.
Yeah. Also today, we got to hear from D'Amico talking about their new addition, Kayshon Boutte, for the first time. Here's D'Amico's thought process in bringing in the new wide receiver.
Yeah, adding Kayshon was a big get for us. We know we lost a significant player for us in Jaden Higgins, and it's hard to replace him. When you try to go out and find a guy with the caliber of Kayshon, we've played against Kayshon multiple times over the past couple years. He's continued to make plays time and time again. He showed up. He's a young player, still an ascending player with a lot to improve upon, a lot to grow. So I'm excited to work with a young player who still has a very bright and promising future, that he has that big play making ability already. So it's been great to have him so far. We'll get him up and rolling here as the week continues.
There it is. D'Amico Ryan's talking about his new addition, Kayshon Boutte. And it looks like the big play ability and personally being able to have to play against them multiple times seemed to also be a big help in bringing him in here because they knew what they were looking at and the issues they had with him.
I like the part where he says still an ascending player. Yeah. We talked about it a little bit with B. Scott when the block was hot a little bit earlier. But I've thought this since he was at LSU, and I know there were some distractions off the field. I've thought it since he was in New England. He's a good receiver, good complimentary piece, good number two, and puts up some good numbers. I've always thought that there was, D'Amico says, still an ascending player. I always thought there was another level to him. I may be wrong, but I'm hopeful that D'Amico Ryans and Nick Caley and this bunch can bring out in Kayshon Boutte what obviously New England was not able to do. Because I just see a next level, like a higher level receiver than just that complimentary piece that gives you 500 to 600 yards and
it's certainly there.
Yeah, it's something there. I just always thought there.
And I think they believe it. They clearly believe it too.
Let's get it on, baby.
5 o'clock fire.
So that was the good of the joint practice. The bad and concerning was the injury front has hit the Texans again. And it's kind of hit him. Dylan Horton, a reserve rotation defensive end, tore his Achilles. Obviously, we know the ACL injury that has Higgins out for the year. Woodaz broke his finger. He is depth there as well. And we, maybe not for the year, but Jadeveon Clowney and Dominique Robinson, those guys have not been able to practice. Obviously, the Tank Dell situation, Brevin Jordan, they've had some guys. It looks like two more today. Braden Smith and Allie Gay both had lower leg injuries. Hell, Clint, they shared the cart. It happened so close together. They shared the cart in what happened. And it looks like with Braden Smith, it's a foot issue that he is being evaluated for. And Gay, it is a knee issue that he is going to have an MRI on. Here is D'Amico giving you the latest when he spoke to the media about those two injuries.
Smith and Gay went down today in the practice, and we'll evaluate them when we get inside.
Say what the injuries were?
We do not know.
Okay, at this point, as we said, we know it's a foot with Braden Smith and a knee with Allie Gay. And Clint, it looks like that's the big thing is the depth is starting to be looked at and challenged. And Braden Smith looks like he was going to be outside of the top five. But we all know that the probability of him playing with a normal offensive line is high, let alone Trent Brown.
Well, even if he wasn't going to be relied upon as a depth piece and they chose to move him a lot like they did Cam Robinson last year, you need him healthy to do so. So any way you slice it with Braden Smith, that's the big one here that whether you were going to keep him as depth and quality depth or, hell, maybe if you thought one day he'd be a starter – or you were going to move him outright. I mean, either way it goes, that's the one that's a little bit of a ding here. Can they get him back to where he can play, or is this some longer term injury? You know, we'll keep you posted.
Yeah, and then Allie Gay, that hurts when you got two guys that are out, and then you had Dylan Horton who just tore him.
5 o'clock fire.
All right, one last thing, Clint.
Sorry, Shell.
You're good. I know you're over Dylan Horton too. I mean, why not?
My bad.
I mean, more Allie Gay. I'm probably not Allie Gay. Anyway, the Pro Bowl, it's done. It's been eliminated. At least the game has been, thank God. The NFL has eliminated, according to Adam Schefter, the Pro Bowl games per league officials. The focus now will be shifted to celebrating the honor of being a Pro Bowl selection. So
the game is over.
They said, hey, man, what are we doing here, man? We've shifted this thing to flag, and now we got guys that have seven touchdown passes and 10 interceptions making the Pro Bowl. We've got to shut this thing down. I'm glad for this.
Shadour played in it.
Yeah, that's what he had. Seven. Seven touchdowns, 10 interceptions. Like at some point, man, like they needed to do this. The players didn't want to play in the game. Now they seem like they enjoyed being at the Super Bowl last year, but they didn't want to play in the game. They can go on vacation. And now, when you make the Pro Bowl, you really make it. Like, it's going to be the top three, whatever it is, at a position and not getting all the way down to seven or eight.
Look, well done. You want to give the fellas that make it an all expense paid trip somewhere and have a big celebratory evening with them. That'd be great. Take their families. Cool. This is a smart thing to do. It's common sense, right? Preseason's next.
That's what I was thinking. Is the preseason going to be next?
Got to be next. I mean, this is a joke. It's got to be next. I mean, you can make training camp a week earlier. Make reporting a week later. Everybody do a couple of joint practices if you so choose, and let's go play ball. We don't need these preseason games. This is a joke.
People watching these suckers. Kind of attended them.
I mean, we'll look. Send them folks out here to these joint practices, man. Get a whole crew around them, man. Now, Nick Caserio and the family and the folks may not want you videoing their plays now. They may have some folks out there telling you to put them cameras down. But that to me would be ideal. It's clear the coaches. I mean, it's clear the coaches. Feel like the joint practices they get a significant more out of. So let's just make it a deal.
All right, coming up, do you think C.J. Stroud is actually going to be affected by what appears to be bulletin board material that is stacking up against him all offseason? We'll discuss that coming up next.
95.7 The Fan presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome back in as we are live here on The Drive. That's right. Someone texted in Pro Bowl. Now the rest of the sports need to shut it down. We'll see. I'm surprised they did.
I am too.
I'm just surprised they did it because the number of people who watch it is just it's crazy for what it is that they're doing.
Yeah, the NFL usually adds things, not subtracts.
I'm just saying that they're playing flag. And like it's just
oh it's
like,
whack
and,
yeah
and people, I mean, they, I and mean, people are still watching it though the numbers
the were, flag game was more fast paced than the real game. Isn't that Joe Burrow dove over the guy's goal line or something last year?
Yeah, but the injuries. I think they should do this. I do wonder for like I don't know like how I don't know if it Hall of Fame or whatever. Like it's been there's been what has it been like the last 10, 15 years. At least 10 years, they've been real. It's been real loose on how hard it is to get into the Hall of Fame. To get into the Pro Bowl.
Yeah,
like it used to be. You know, 15
where everybody bails
times.
Out and they get 10 quarterbacks deep.
12 time. Like that's one of the things on Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson's a 10 time Pro Bowler.
Yeah, that's a.
Now I think some of them are absolutely legitimate, but.
Mr. Unlimited.
Yeah, they got a little free with it.
Yeah, they got a little. Yeah, I mean, yeah, Shador's got one. Shut it down. I mean, CJ's turned it down the last two years to do that. All right, speaking of CJ Stroud, by the way, coming up in a little bit, get ready. T-Mill's best bets. Is he back in the green last night with the help of Jordan? Hopefully he can. He can jump in. By the way, if you were thinking about making bets, trying to catch the hot hand of Yiner Diaz, he is not in the lineup.
Can't ride that wave.
I
rest day, man. He exerted himself a lot yesterday, you know.
I want to know is did Omar Lopez in there and say, now hold on, Joe. I mean, we've got to find a way.
This is what you hoped would have left the clubhouse with Dana.
Dana, no.
This kind of mindset of
now it makes you feel like it was Joe.
I'm assuming this is some.
Well, it might have been Jeff.
I mean, it can't be right left. You got Vasquez in there as a righty.
No, it's a right-handed pitcher. It doesn't matter. Yeah.
Yeah. Looks like we got to pin this one on Joe, boys.
Yeah, Joe. Maybe Jim and Jeff said, "Let's do this, guys."
Ain't no way.
Anyway. C.J. Stroud, man, we've heard tons of it, a lot of comments about him. The latest, we heard John Middlecoff of The Volume going around and saying he needs to find his inner Alex Smith and Ryan Tannehill.
Oh, my God.
We've heard, you know, from, man, Daniel Jones has jumped in front of him. He was the 20th best quarterback, I believe, from execs and others. Like Bryce Young made the NFL top 100 from the players. He did not. I mean, if you go look down his numbers, I mean, it's just that. I mean, I don't know what Bryce has that's better. Maybe some touchdown passes, but I just think there's probably been a lot of where you could see, damn, disrespect towards CJ. Some of the stuff you've heard. If he could just be okay, like if he could just be all right, like Shady McCoy. I don't even. I'm sorry, Tyler. I can't hear it again. I just won't. I will just tell him I can't. I can't. He suggested that Baker Mayfield would be one. Emmanuel Acho said minimum Texas go to the Super Bowl with Baker Mayfield. Minimum.
Wow.
Minimum. I've watched Lamar Jackson have the number one defense, number one offense, number one run game, and he has never gone to the Super Bowl. So stop. I just minimum. And then they broke out Shedeur Sanders. Shedeur Sanders could be somebody that could go to the Super Bowl with this team. I just think there's just been a lot of it. And I talked to you about this earlier, and I was just like, you have had probably had an offseason in which you had a really bad moment to end your season, basically kind of end your season that many people remember you by, and probably heard it a lot, probably all you thought about or heard about, people talked about during the offseason. And you had to respond and react to that in the next year. I think CJ's obviously going through this probably at a more public way than you did, just because the world's different than it was in 1998. I don't see how it is not a how I don't see how he isn't taking all of this as bulletin board material, and this isn't a big motivation as he gets ready for the season and this season with all of these things being said. But you've been there. From your experience kind of going through football traumatic situations like CJ did you take a lot of this stuff as bulletin board material and motivation for you going into the next season?
I did not. It did not. Now, again, you mentioned I did not. People didn't have the level of access that they have to CJ and the Texans.
They was writing y'all emails, though, wasn't you?
Yeah,
they
I was getting emails. My Clint Sterner at UARC EDU or whatever the hell it is, that address, they're still the same address. This email address is for the University of Arkansas, so it wasn't hard to find. And when they found it, boy, they really went to town. But it's the interesting thing is that it's so – and I would bet that this is very similar. Like, the guy, what is the most obvious, the most prevalent, the most important motivation, for lack of better terms, is having to walk in the locker room every day and face guys that you know you let down. That's the piece. Do I think he's fully aware, not of Shady McCoy, but he's fully aware of what people think of him right now and where he's at right now. He's fully aware that probably is the straw that broke the camel's back when it comes to him getting the extension after year three instead of after year four. He's aware of those things, right? But I think the when you talk about motivation to get better and things that are actually on your mind constantly and on your heart constantly, I think it's looking in D'Amico's eyes. I think it's looking in Nico Collins and Dalton Schultz, even though those guys were hurt. I think it's looking in the eyes of the guys
the
whole defense. You're right. That should have started there, right? Aziz, like looking in the face of those guys right there and knowing, man, they were good enough to win a Super Bowl, and you repeatedly put the ball on the ground or threw interceptions to a degree that, I mean, I think it's fair to say it cost you an opportunity to definitely an AFC championship, if not a Super Bowl. Walking in and facing those guys every day, even though they're great guys and they appear to not take the low-hanging fruit of, boy, CJ really screwed us, right? You know deep down what the hell happened. You know that they know deep down what the hell happened. And I'll tell you, to this day, it's still painful when I see some of the guys that I truly care about and truly love as brothers and kind of do. When I see them and know that I cost them and us a chance at least an SEC championship, if not a national championship, it's painful. I'd be lying to you if I told you it didn't hurt, right? there's no doubt CJ is feeling some of that.
That's more. It's more from the, because it's getting. I mean, it's get. It's loud.
Yeah,
and it is. It's loud, and I believe over the top with some of the,
Oh
stuff.
Yeah, no question. And it's a nuisance. And yeah, I'm sure. Yeah, it's a nuisance to him.
But you don't think he's sitting there like that's a part of. All right, man.
I'm sure the when other the, into, well like, the other piece was
I'm shut all these dudes up.
The other piece was nobody at the time said anything to my face about the when I fumbled, but the motivation that I got from other people's thoughts or other people's opinions were when somebody said it to my face. I had a photographer in high school of all people, you know, try to say I was too small to play D1, my arm wasn't strong enough to play D1 for whatever reason. That always stuck with me. Right, I had a reporter in when I was at Arkansas saying that I wasn't good enough to start at the D1 level. My freshman year that I wasn't like the future and wasn't the starter kind of deal, and that drove me. But nothing like that was in a paper or was in, you know, obviously today on social media. I mean, I think he's aware. Hell yeah, you got to be. I mean, if you're human with a heartbeat, you're aware. But I don't think it motivates or drives him. No,
I don't. It's good to get that perspective. You've been there. Because I'm telling you, it would drive the hell out of me. And I'll be honest, something has shifted with him. Because he's not fooling with any of the nonsense, or he's not high and key-keying at all anymore. There's like he's in and out. That man's press conference, that last three minutes and 2 seconds.
The other piece of it, I think, look, CJ's a far better quarterback, obviously, than I ever was. But I do think, like, I've probably got, and have always had, even before I knew I had it, I don't really give a rip what nobody thinks or says. I think CJ probably struggles in that category. Like, I think he pays attention.
We're starting to embrace it. Maybe that's
where he's getting to. Yeah, I always had that in me, and so that really served me well in athletics, typically.
All right, coming up as we continue, T-Mill's best bets. He had a good rebound from Monday in the green. Let's see if he can keep that rolling coming up tonight. T-Mill, it's going to make it a little cash coming up next right here live on the drive.
All right, H-Town. Today's picks are in. The choice is yours. Are you tailing?
Forget the myths that the media has created and just follow the money.
Or fading.
There is no nobility in poverty.
It's time for T-Mill's best bets on the drive.
I want you to deal with your problems by becoming rich.
All right, here we go. T-Mill's best bets. He had a great week last week. Every single day he was in the green. He bounced back from Monday and got in the green 2 of 3 yesterday. So now he's 3 of 6 trying to jump over 50% with tonight's best bets. Remember, if you aren't able to hear them here, you can always head to @SpaceCitySharp where he has those posted. @SpaceCitySharp where he has those there for you. And some nuggets also to help you figure out what things you want to bet. Last night, your Don came through easy with him. Boy, that triple, that was enough.
Yeah.
Not to mention that. I mean, he made that single that he hit hard. Jazz didn't have a chance. He looked like he hit it to Jazz.
He ripped
that. That would have, if he had any elevation, that might have gone through the wall. He hit the thing so hard.
Scalded.
But yeah, he had a big night. See if he can jump on that. But T-Mill's best bets, what you got tonight?
3 more. Being consistent, 3 picks around Major League Baseball, including 1 bet within your Astros action for tonight up in the Bronx against the Yankee Turds. We'll get to that one last. First, Sonny Gray. He has been excellent on the bump for the Boston Red Sox this year. He is starting tonight in Miami against the Marlins. Red Sox traveling down to Florida. Take the Red Sox money line with Sonny Gray on the mound at -130 odds. Red Sox to win it. Second best bet on a hump day with the drive is going to be the Blue Jays money line, taking Canada to win it tonight as they host the Kansas City Royals.
And the Royals, baby, 9 in a row, baby, the hottest team in baseball now. They've won 9 in a row to get to 15 games under .500.
Yes, sir, and that's honestly part of my reasoning in this bet on Toronto. Law of averages, people. Law of averages. Royals come back down to earth tonight as the Blue Jays win it, hopefully. Put money in your pocket. third best bet, final best bet on a hump day. Again, why change it if it's working for you and putting money in all of our pockets? Yordan Alvarez, old reliable, the big fella, over 1.5 total bases for Yordan once again tonight up in the Bronx against the Yankees. Those are your three best bets.
There it is. There are three best bets. Red Sox, Blue Jays, Yordan Alvarez at Space City Sharp. You can find those each and every night right there. T-Mills Best Bets, sponsored by Surge.
I loved Surge. No, I think it got discontinued when I was like a kid, but I loved that.
I'm going to start just saying it's sponsored by items that I know don't exist.
I like it. Surge is a really good one.
Surge, man. That was good, man.
The only drink my mother ever eventually told me I couldn't have anymore because apparently it made me hyper.
Yeah. So you should have switched to Mountain Dew. Same thing. Should have done that. All right, coming up behind us after we get done, the fellas, Texans All Access, they will roll through, and I'm sure we'll hear from them talking about today's joint practice. They'll probably give an update and their thoughts on the injuries of Braden Smith and Ollie Gay, what that could mean. But obviously what we've read and heard from everyone, a dominating performance on both sides of the ball, to be honest. I hope Frank Ross was happy. But both sides of the ball, offense and defense, seem to get the better of the Panthers. We'll hear from the fellas Mark Vandermeer, John Harris on Texans All Access as soon as we get done here on the drive. You'll hear that right here on the Fan. Also, after that, Area 45, 7-11, Sean Bajani, Patrick Creighton, Bryson. I see them back there all ready, getting ready for the show, and they will have baseball's best postgame show. It'll be right here after they get done in the Bronx. Hopefully, again, they win the first two, which means if they sweep them, right, Tyler has to go to the game. Is that what it was?
They just have to win two.
Just have to win two.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, I'm a man of my word.
There it is. We'll see.
Would love to go to a game.
But they've got it for you tonight, 7 to 11, live and local right here on The Fan. Houston's sports leader. All right, Clint, yesterday, as they get ready to take on the Yankees again tonight, that was a game they had to have, a game they needed. Joe Espada expressed that after the game. They put up 9 runs, but it wasn't just 9 runs. They had to keep fighting back, you know, took an early lead, but then had to keep fighting back after a couple of home runs were hit, and Pena hit a huge home run to tie it. Yordan drove in Pena to give them a lead. Big contributions from Varsho outside of the top 4 or 5 there. Also, Yainer Diaz, 10 total bases, 2 home runs himself, several RBIs. But, Clint, for them to have a chance, obviously their pitching has to get – has to do something for them. I don't think it's going to be sustainable to have guys going 4 innings and giving up 5 runs. They need guys like Pete Lambert, Hunter Brown, Christian Javier to come through. But the most dependable thing that you should be able to have confidence in, Clint, is that top 4. And that is Pena, Yordan, Paredes, and Alvarez. And yesterday, with all the help, they had 8 of the 14 hits. They were on base 10 times all together at the front of the lineup, and big moments too, right? As I said, they're down 2 outs. Pena hits a home run to tie it, right? They're down 2 outs. Pena gets on in front of Yordan, and Yordan gets the RBI triple to give them a lead they would never lose again. They need those guys because that's the most – outside of Josh Hader, I would say, that's the thing you can depend on the most with the Astros. And I'm not saying they got to go, you know, and get on base 10 times every day, but they're going to have to be the catalyst to this team getting where they want to get.
Well, it obviously – I think Pena is the key. I mean, Yordan obviously is who he is, and we all know that. But he needs a little bit of help somewhere along the way. And I think when Pena's rolling, it just changes the dynamic of the entire lineup. And it just changes the dynamic of the amount of pressure that the Astros can put on an opposing team. So, man, I mean, that top of the lineup is, you know, it's an absolute must that they're swinging it well. But I go back to what you said initially, man. Like tonight, you know, last night was rough for the bullpen. A couple of guys gave up runs and put us in a spot where we needed the bats to come through, and thankfully they came through. Tonight's one of those nights where, man, you mentioned it, Peter Lambert, you know, last outing didn't make four innings. You know, he's got to get back to that five or six number, and then the bullpen's got to get us to Hader. I mean, that's the big key to me, obviously, tonight is the pitching's got to be better, because, you know, 8-plus runs a night to win a game,
yeah, that's
in nice. The Bronx ain't gonna be a recipe to win a series and get Tyler back in damn seats over at Daikin.
Yep. Varsho getting multiple RBIs and multiple hits. Yiner getting two home runs. Those are hard. But most, if Pena, but again, as you said, those four are doing their deal. That means they're always on base, and you increase the chances even for those guys, and they get better pitches to hit for those guys. Like you said, if Pena's rolling now, maybe somebody at the bottom may get better pitches because they don't want to, you know, flip over to get to Pena in your dime. But yeah, everything that happened, like you said, that's not sustainable. But those four, they need them to get hot and stay hot. When you have your main dishes and your best side dishes together, that's
what you need.
Paredes is in the side dish category. And we obviously know the gentleman who bats behind him, Altuve. The best side dishes we've ever seen.
Boy, I tell you what, you think that's cute, don't you, Tyler?
I see you in there
smiling.
We saw it last night, man. We saw it, man. Like, we saw the main dishes. Mm-hmm. We saw that brisket rolling.
You're just disrespectful.
We saw that porterhouse rolling.
You're just disrespectful.
One and two. And then look at Paredes getting his walks, getting his, you know, his hits, man.
The Paredes.
There you go. There you go. Some sweet potatoes in there. I see you.
Paredes. I got a message for those Yankee turds.
I'm not joining y'all's disrespect.
A little cinnamon in them sweet potatoes. Yeah.
I don't sweet like potatoes. Sweet potatoes.
Cinnamon sweet potatoes. You kidding me?
A little cinnamon in there.
Are you kidding me?
You better get back
to the lobster mac and cheese.
I don't want to make him the yams. I don't want to go that far. But, yeah, man. Yeah,
what
that
if
lobster,
I told you?
Look at that lobster mac and cheese. He was probably without the lobster last night. Just mac and cheese last night. But look at the old mac and cheese.
Hey, man, there's a report on Carlos, man.
Los?
Correa.
I assume you mean Los.
Joe Espada said Correa is going to be ready to go at some point in September.
Believe it when I see it.
Well, Joseph, I see it right here.
I would love to see it.
I know what you meant.
But I just struggle to believe
this. When did Joe get this kind of power?
Hey, man, Joe said to hell with it. I'm out of here anyway.
Joe going to run Carlos' legs in the ground. Joe going to go out there and get Josh Hader and pitch him every day. What do I care? I'm out of a job. I'm getting these wins, damn it. What he going to do? Again, if you missed it, update Chandler Rome. Astros third baseman Carlos Correa, manager Joe Espada said today, is expected to be ready at some point in September.
If you don't know the facts, then you got to chill.
They need him, but I hope he's healed. Clint, great job. Shout out to B. Scott for joining us as well. Tyler, enjoy yourself as you're about to have you a good time. We appreciate you. Great job today as well. I am Ron, the show Hughley, and as always, Houston, we love you, baby.
Brought to you by...
Hey, thank you, Tyler Milner. Thank you so much.